This week's parasha, Parashat Kisavai, opens with the mitzvah of Bikurim. And the Sifri, with regards to this mitzvah, tells us that as a result of carrying out mitzvah's Bikurim, we should be particular about it. Shabbischusa tikonis laret. As a result of the performance of this mitzvah, we will be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. The obvious question is that Mitzvahs Bikurim only applies after the 14 years of Kibush V'Chiluk. So it cannot be a means to ensure entry into Eretz Yisrael, because it doesn't apply until after they're there. And beyond that, to understand that Bikurim, which Sakacha is 1/60th of a person's crop, should bring about a result which is as great as the granting of Eretz Yisrael sounds out of proportion somewhat. And this same thought occurs in the Medrash, in Bereishis Rabbah, at the very beginning. Bereishis Bara Elokim Et HaShamayim Et HaAretz, says the Medrash that with Mitzvahs Bikurim in the second pasuk, we find the term Rashis, Lakatim Rashis Kol Pri Adam. And the idea being that Bishus Bikurim, Bishus this Rashis, Bora Lekim Et HaShemayim Et HaAretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bishvil, for the sake of Bikurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim V'Aretz. The same question. What exactly is there in Bikurim that has such an effect? And to a smaller extent, what is the whole parasha, the kriya, that occurs when a person brings Bikurim? We don't find with Korbanos that a person is given a Varnisa or Marta to say. Why Daska here? And in what way does that connect to the Ovois? It talks about the fact that this is not only Eretz Yisrael, but the Eretz Yisrael that was promised to Avisenu. Where does this all fit in within Parshas Bikurim? So the answer really lies three psukim earlier. The end of last week's Sedra deals with Mechiyas Amalek. And there is a smichus haparshis. There is a connection between the end of Parshas Kisavai and the beginning of Kisavai. Because Amalek is also called Rashis. As we find in Parshas Balak, Rashis Goyim Amalek. And they are not called so because they were the first of nations, which means that Rashis means something beyond its literal translation. Klal Yisrael and Amalek have two world views that are totally opposed. They stand at opposite ends of the spectrum. Klal Yisrael sees their purpose in this world as one of bringing emunah, bringing the concept of Metzius Hashem into the world, and of kedusha, of taking what we have and what we find in this world and using it. In fact, in the mitzvah of Bal Tashchis, the Chinuch explains that even a grain of mustard has a use. If it was created, there must be purpose. That is how Klal Yisrael views their existence. Amalek is the exact opposite. Asher Korach Baderach, says Rashi. Rashi brings three reasons, but two of them are particular to this idea. One is Miloshen Korach, it's by chance. Things just happen. There is no such thing as emunah, because everything is random. There is no plan, there is no design, there is no purpose. Everything just happens. Asher Korach Baderach. And secondly, Asher Korach Miloshen Keri, Miloshen Tuma. Everything here is there just for you to make use of. Whatever use or abuse you wish. There is no such thing as this is set aside. This has got inherent value. Enkazah. There is no concept of emunah, there's no concept of kedusha. They stand at opposite ends of the spectrum. And there came a time where the world had to choose between the two, as we know. Shortly after Yetzias Mitzrayim, the nations of the world started thinking that there seems to be a real concept of Metzias Hashem. Saying Oz Yosher every day, Oz Nitalo Lufe Edoim, Chiloch Oz Yeshu Kanaan, and the Moedic Yeshu Kanaan Rabbah. We have a record of the fact that all the nations that surrounded Klal Yisrael were convinced that there's something real out there. Medrash tells us they started heading towards Klal Yisrael. Amalek saw this as a total challenge to their existence, so they attacked. When they attacked Klal Yisrael, they became racist, because at that stage they nailed their colors to the mast and they said, we stand at the opposite end of the spectrum. Once had an idea from Rabbi Lev. He said, all the nations of the world who are Eved Avodah Zarah, serve idolatry, worship idols, at least there is an Avodah. There's a Hakara that there's something greater than them out there. It is totally the wrong Hakara, but there's something greater than me. It's Avodah Zarah, but it's Avodah. Amalek has no such thing. There is nothing beyond me. It's what I make of it. And at that stage, they become racious, at the opposite end to the racious of Klal Yisrael. Not only does Klal Yisrael say that there is the potential for emunah and kedusha in a bit of Knesset, or in bringing korbanos, or in learning Torah, but in the most physical areas that exist, there is nothing in this world that cannot be converted to these two causes. And therefore Bikurim represents something which is total gashmius. It is something that is the apex of involvement in the land, of a farmer spending months of his time involved in complete gashmius. And one would have thought superficially that this is as far removed from Emunah and Kedusha as possible, but the truth is it is central to Emunah and Kedusha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to engender in Klal Yisrael the feeling that when they see a fully ripened field, their immediate reaction is Volnisa, Volmarta, their initial reaction is this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the real racious is actually seen here. The real racious is where all the other nations would say, surely that's just down to your efforts. Surely that's just down to your input. If we see beyond that, then we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world fully. And this really is Avodas Rosh Hashanah. The whole of Tfilas Rosh Hashanah has got virtually no mention of chatoim, of tshuva, of requests, other than perhaps of Avinu Malkeinu. The whole of Tfilas Rosh Hashanah centers around one word, Malchus. That's it. There's the centrality of Aleinu, Emes Malkeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only reality. There's HaMelech HaKadosh, which is the only thing that causes us to go back in Shemoneh Esrei. That is Tfilas Rosh Hashanah. So what is Malchus? We say it, we hear it. What is Malchus? Malchus is the Hakara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in every aspect of Bria. From that which is the most sublime to that which is the most mundane, there is the potential for Emunah and Kedusha. And with this in mind, Reb Shimon Schwab explains our original question. How is it that in the Zchus of Bikurim Tikkones La'aretz? He says that as the Mishnah in Kelim tells us, the Mishnayot in Kelim, there are 10 levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, one greater than the next. The last few levels of Kedusha are all to be found in the Beit HaMikdash. Unlike any other land, Bias HaOretz, does not simply mean arriving past passport control. Bias Haaretz means a ruchni concept of achieving entry into Eretz Yisrael, of going through the necessary hachamas and necessary madregas, and ultimately arriving in Eretz Yisrael, being kainer Eretz Yisrael. Which means that if we want to make a real kinyan, if we want to reach the ultimate level of Bias Haaretz, we have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. We have to bring that which is the most gashmi and use it for Avodas Hashem in the Mokrim where the Shechinah is Shaira. That brings us into Eretz Yisrael properly. So if we carry out Bikurim, we will ultimately end up with Eretz Yisrael. What is the opposite of Bias Haaretz? What is the opposite of coming into Eretz Yisrael? Is the concept in Parshas Vayeschanan of Kisoilit Bonim Ubnei Bonim V'nei Shantem. V'nei Shantem means I don't have to struggle anymore, I don't have to be creative anymore, I don't have to work, V'nei Shantem, I'm at home. That happens in other countries. Eretz Yisrael is a constant struggle for Aliyah, is a constant renewal of Bias Haaretz. If that's the case, then when did Bias Haaretz start? It started with Milchemes Sichri. That is the first stage in coming into Eretz Yisrael. That's the first stage, unlike Edom, where when they did not allow us entry, so Moshe turned away. Sichrin and Oig were considered to be part of entry into Eretz Yisrael, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu felt, after he had been allowed to lead those milchamos, that perhaps he can get into Eretz Yisrael. That was the beginning of Bias Haaretz. And the Medrash in the end of Parshas Chukas tells us, Vayifnu Vayalu, says the Medrash, Yesh Oimrim Milchemes Sichoin Osu Be'elov. But that war took place in Chodesh Elul, which we'll come back to in a moment. Elul is the location of the greatest aspect of Reishis that exists, because Bikurim is an echo of why the world was created. Bikurim gives us a means to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz, the original Bereishis, was Bereas HaOlam. And that took place in Elul. That took place Chotei Elul. Hence the beginning of Slichus, then according to some. And the months of the year, the 12 months of the year, are parallel to the Shiftei Kof. In the Seder of the Ari and of the Gon, which is based on the Seder of the Sefer Yetzira, this parallel between the 12 months of the year and the 12 Shvatim works Lefi Seder HaDegolim, according to the layout of the Degolim of the flags, which means that the month of Elul parallels the Shevet God. In what way does this connect to Reishis? In what way is that Shevet connected to Reishis? So I once heard an idea from Rosh Shapira Shlita, who said that the name God is rooted in the idea of being a godel. A godel is somebody who has the koach to be mamshich, to be mashpia, to take something from its beginnings and extend it. Because, as he says, a godel who is soimech al shulchan aviv, a godel who is not independent, who is not able to create further, is still called a kohen. A godel is somebody who is able to extend beyond where they are at the moment. And this is related to many ideas with those two letters in Hilchos Erev and Hilchos Sukkah, Daf Yomi at the moment, concept of good asik and good achis. The idea is that you take something that isn't actually there and you extend it. You take a point of departure and you make something out of it. And that's why, of all the Shvatim, when Moshe gives the brachas in Parshas Vezos the bracha, only Shevet God has the word Rashis in their bracha. Yar Rashis Lo. This Shevet has the ability to take the Bereshis Bara Lekim Et HaShemayim Et HaOretz and make something out of it. It was in the month of Elul that Moshe Rabbeinu brought about the Luchos Shnitz, came down on Yom Kippur. But there was a 40-day period. When does that start? It starts Rosh Chodesh Elul. Elul is the Bereshis of Kabbalah Sater that we have. Starts in the Chodesh, which is the Chodesh of God. Of course, any Shevet that has the Keach to bring about a positive Rashis obviously has the Keach to do the exact opposite. It's their little mazeh. If they have the ability to such an extent that they brought about Kaviyachal, a second Kabbalah Satera, that they, as Moshe Rabbeinu calls them, are the Rashis, then it must work two ways. It is their territory, the territory of Sichli, the beginning of Bi'at Ha'aretz, that happens in Elul. They are the beginning of Bi'at Ha'aretz. They are the beginning of the correctly focused Rashis. And they're also the first Shevet to go into Golus. Because it's a double-edged sword. Depends how it's being used. And that is why the Medrash tells us that Tkiah Shofar, which started in the Midbar, blew the Shofar, that they shouldn't Shlayitzu Achra Avodah Zarah. Blew the Shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, that they shouldn't be led astray by Avodah Zarah. I can understand that they would blow the Shofar on Yom Kippur. They were worried that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't down yet. What happened last time? That the 40 days, or the 40th day, was miscalculated. Why did they have to start blowing Shofar on the first day? Where is the danger? The danger is that once we're dealing with root forces, once we're dealing with kochos, which are at the very beginning of everything, then we have so much power that we could destroy everything. That's what we're dealing with when we have the Keach of Rashis. And the power given to God, we find, for instance, Rashi, when God is born, Rashi says, translate God as Mazel Tov. The idea of Mazel, the exact opposite of something which connects to Klal Yisrael. In Mazel Yisrael, and here God is Mazel. One way or the other. Which means that Rashis can either be defined by a Molech, somebody whose entire existence is there to deny that a Kodesh Baruch Hu exists, and will fight to the death for it, to say that everything is random, to say that everything is there for my own personal use, for Tumah, Keri. And the other Rashis is the Rashis called Pri Adama, which says that everything, even the most physical, can be connected to Emunah and Kedusha. That's where Rashis stands. And that's why if we use it correctly, we enter into Eretz Yisrael. We understand now why Bishvil Bikurim, Bishvil Rashis, the world was created, because the world was created for Emunah and Kedusha. That's what Rashis, that's what's at stake when we're dealing with Rashis. This duality is also seen further on in Parshas Kisavai, towards the end of the Tochachos. A famous comment of the Vilna Gaon on the pasuk Tachat Asher Lo Yivadot Es Hashem Elokecha V'Simcha V'Tzuv Leivav Meiroyim Kol. The Torah says that this is all happening because we didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Simcha of the Tuv Lehov. But the last two words in the pasuk, Meroiv Ko, so literally it's translated, when we had an abundance, Meroiv, we had so much of everything, and nevertheless, we didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Simcha. The Gaon says that these two words are the keys to two different worldviews. They are the views of Esav and Yaakov. In Parashas Vayishlach, when Yaakov sends the bride to Esav and they eventually meet, Esav says, what do I need it for? Yeshli Rav, I've got, do you know how wealthy I am? Since we last met, I've made it big. So Yeshli Rav, I don't need it. Whereas Yaakov responds, V'chiyeshli Koel, take it because I've got everything. What is the difference between two seemingly similar concepts of being very wealthy and having everything? The difference is enormous. Roiv means I have a lot, but the more I have, obviously, the more it's ma'orer of the taiva to have more. So that the more I actually find myself having, in a way, the poorer I am, which is why it's the opposite of being sameach b'chelko, because the more I have, the more I lack, the less I really end up feeling that I've got. But what it also says is, it's down to me. I have now a desire, and unless I fulfill my desire, not going to happen. Whereas if a person can say yesh, v'chiyeshli koel, then I've got everything. The only way a person can say I've got everything, I mean, go and pick up another £5 note. Why have they got everything? The only way you can use terminology such as koel is if you believe that what you have is from a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because otherwise it's just not true, the material. The view that I have everything is only from somebody who sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind what they have. And the truth is, Yaakov didn't say Yeshli Koel because he was wealthy. Yaakov would have said Yeshli Koel whatever matters he was in. As we see in Parashat Vayetse, all he asked for was Lechem Lechel Veged Lulvash. That's all he wanted. So that when Yaakov says Yeshli Koel, what he's saying is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind what I have. And therefore, in these two words, the Gaon says, the criticism is Tachas Asher Lo Yevadeta Et Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Lehov. We didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Simcha, and we should have converted Roiv into Koel. May Roiv, we should have arrived at Koel. But we didn't. That's the criticism. And Agav, the Gematria of Koel is 50. Shleimus. It's something where I feel that I have everything I need, all the kelim I've got. And at the same time that Yaakov says koel, he goes back for papa coming. Because koel doesn't mean I have more than enough. It means I have exactly the kelim that I need. And if I had pachim k'tanim, they have a purpose. Going back to the mitzvah of Bal Tashchis. If I have that grain of mustard, everything in this world connects me to Bereishis. Everything in this world has the potential to bring about emunah and kedusha. So I go back to pachim k'tanim. I don't have too much. I don't have too little. I have koel. That's the ideal attitude. And at the stage where we feel koel, where we feel that that's what we have, then at that stage we're impervious to the attack of Amalek. Amalek only works where I feel that my life is not being directed back to the Shorty. Amalek only has entry where I see my life as being rave. I've got a lot. I could do a little bit more. And as such, the obvious we know, saying Birkus HaMazon, all has the bracha of koel. Bakoel, mikoel, and koel. The obvious represents the Yesodos of Klal Yisrael that say we our lives are shaped purely by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, who it was a land where the Ovos also carried out Bias HaOretz, they also constantly struggled to improve their Madrega within Eretz Yisrael. They are part of the declaration that we have to make when we come to the Beis HaMikdash. We have to connect Eretz Yisrael to the Ovos. We have to understand that what the Ovos did is the only way I can have Eretz Yisrael. And therefore we can also understand why in the Parsha of Amalek we also come across the idea in Parsha's B'Shalach of the Ovos being connected to Eretz Yisrael. There has to be an understanding that it's either Roiv or Koril. It's a Rashis that proclaims Chas V'Shalom Korach, or it's a Rashis that proclaims Kedusha and Emunah. And connected with that is the last pasuk in Bikurim of the Samachta B'Chalateiv, that therefore that brings about a Simcha. Real Simcha in life does not come from things, but from how I view my matzah, how I view what I have, right? Hasameach b'chelko. It comes from how I see my situation in life. It's what I make of it, rather than what it is. There is the possibility for simcha under the most difficult circumstances, and hence, both in Bikurim and at the end of the Sedra, we come across this. That's the level that we have to achieve, which means that in Chodesh Elul and in Tishri, from a, so to speak, theoretical perspective, what we have to try and achieve is an understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in every area of my life. Now, we all know this, but what Tfilat Rosh Hashanah wants us to achieve, that we feel it, is that when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu are the Makayor of everything that exists, that we don't just say it, but that we think about it. And therefore really Avodas Rosh Hashanah is to stand the Tfilat and think and try and feel what we're actually saying, rather than make Chazor Hashat so we can say Kedusha with the Tzibur. The purpose is to feel Baruch Atah Hashem. The purpose is to feel that Hashem Sofei Tiftach, that without that I actually would not be able to open my lips. The purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to move from things that we know to things that V'Hashevoisa El Levavecha, that we actually feel, that we actually achieve a level of emunah chushis. That's all of Rosh Hashanah. It's just malchus. Malach al kol ha'olam kula. That the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the minutiae of my life, not just in the areas where it's quite obvious, but in the areas where until now I just didn't even think about it. It was Ashek Karakot. Yeah, it just happened. I did this or that happened. It was a coincidence. Avodas Rosh Hashanah is to remove coincidence. It's to achieve a level of malchus. To achieve a level where we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the daily happenings of my life, rather than in the bigger picture. And the Avoda, beyond that point, once I have that, the Avoda is to therefore feel that where I'm at in life is a matzav of koil, and where I'm at in life, my Avoda is the samachta b'chalateis, to achieve a degree of menuchas hanefesh, a degree of simcha in what I've got, once I understand that behind everything lies HaKadosh Baruch Hu.